I'm Stephen Duncan. Kevin, Norm called me out for not getting 100% on Mario 3D Land. Are you going to defend my honor?
I will, just as soon as you buy me a 3DS.
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Today, we're talking about Kickstarter.
And Microsoft working on wearable computers.
And also, we're cleaning out our mailbag. We have a backlog. Because we took a hiatus. Like we usually do.
A whole two people.
Yeah. This was another first for you, Kevin. You went through your first Level 7 hiatus. Did you make it through okay? I ain't got to go over there and help you out none, do I?
I was taking a lot of NyQuil, so I'm pretty fine.
Oh, well, that's good. Then you probably don't even remember the 3 or 4 weeks that we were off.
Yeah, I slept a lot, so.
Well, I guess that's good. Get well rested, because, you know, we have been preparing for this episode for kind of a while.
We've been running up and down staircases like Rocky.
Where? You don't have a staircase, though.
I got the one outside my front door. I just got to run up and down it a lot.
Yeah, what is it, 3 steps?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm the best around.
No, we stopped that. Anyway. So let's get into the main topics before Kevin sings any more show tunes. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter has changed their submission rules, having creators be upfront about the challenges the project will face. Also, hardware designs must have pictures of the product. Is this a good move for Kickstarter?
They need to get as far away from the unregulated side that they had. They needed to get as far away from that as they can and start regulating their stuff better. So before, you know, all of these things that don't get fund or do get funded, I should say, and don't get made before that comes back and bites them.
Yeah, this is a better step. It's a step in the right direction. I don't think this is necessarily the end-all, be-all guidelines that they probably should enforce. I do like that the creators have to be upfront about the challenges. Because that way, if you're backing something, if you're funding it, then you kind of know, like, look, this may not happen. And why it may not happen. And the whole having a picture thing for the hardware is great.
Yeah.
Because that way they don't have to do like the CG thing. They don't have to do they can't give you a fake picture.
Yeah, that says no renderings can be shown and creators must instead show photos of the prototype as it currently exists. So you have to actually have something tangible for people to look at.
Which is awesome because then you're not really backing an idea. You are truly backing a product.
Yeah, you're backing something. You can see people working on it instead of just saying, oh, we've got these mock-up photos. You know, this is what it'll look like in a year from now. Now, I want to know what you're actually working towards now and why you need funding for it.
Yeah, and putting all that together, and if you have a product there, it does feel like it's a bit more of a reality.
A reliable source has said that Half-Life 3 finally has an unspecified release date, maybe sometime next year, and also says the game will be open world. Do you think this is a good change for Half-Life?
Well, I think hearing, even though it's an unspecified release date, they're at least saying sometime in 2014, which is better than what we have been hearing, which is, it'll be out when it comes out.
I guess it's a reliable source, but we hear lots of reliable sources all the time, and
I know.
You know they can be wrong. But I mean, it's not like it's new news that they've been working on Half-Life 3. They said they've changed it a couple times now because I guess it ain't work. I guess the old Half-Life just doesn't work anymore. Even though people clamor for it and you know keep wanting more Half-Life, I guess the way the game was in Half-Life Episode 1 and 2 wasn't good enough for people.
Yeah, they are talking about moving it to the open world and kind of taking the linearity out of it. What do you think about that? Do you think that will work well with a Half-Life game?
But see, open world games only usually work with quests, right? Where you're going from place to place to talk to new people. That's not really what Half-Life is about. I mean, there is a I guess you could say they're a quest system, but it's go from event to event, not go from person to or non-playable character to non-playable
And
character.
shooting
So,
face suckers.
yeah, I mean, they might as well add, experience to it and add, levels to it and make it, sort of Borderlands 2-like. I mean, if they're
It
going to change
is.
it, what's the point of not going all out?
It is kind of weird that people are clamoring for what Half-Life is, and Half-Life didn't really change the formula between the two games. And then there's, this source saying that, well, they're going to change it, even though people are asking for the same thing. Now, I do applaud them for trying to change the mold and trying to do something different. We talk about, creative direction and all that. So, they should be at least applauded for that. Now, whether or not that particular thing's going to work for this game, I would wait and see. But, I mean, at least they're trying to try something new, I guess.
People always try to try new things. It's just worrying, I guess that's the right word.
Two bots at the 2K Bot Prize, a competition that pits programmers against one another to make the perfect bot, have both won and are the first bots to pass with a 50% humanness rating, even beating out all the other human players. Are computers going to take over?
God, I hope so. I don't know. I mean, it makes it out to be a lot more than it is, but it is an accomplishment when I guess bots in a game like Unreal Tournament seem more human. I mean, they play more human than actual human players.
Well,
I'm not saying it passes the Turing test, but I mean it's an accomplishment.
let's clarify something about bots, because when I first read the article, I was kind of confused and they had to clarify it for me too. Bots being the virtual intelligence inside the game. Like the computer controlled players. I had to clarify that for people, because when I read bots are more human than people, I really thought we were talking about robots, and I really was worried about the robot invasion
Oh, you
coming
thought there was like a robot on the other side playing Unreal Tournament?
or something like that. And I was creeping out. They're like, oh no, the robot overlords are going to come and take all of my cereal.
Yeah, the T-100 from Terminator is playing Unreal Tournament on the other side. That would actually be cool, but yeah, it's just the bots in the game that you fight against. They just made them better.
I
They can't
do.
make them amazing. They made them so they don't shoot as well, and they made them so they play. They dumb them down to play against
Well,
humans.
that's the difficult part. You can tell something, hey, go and be awesome. Go find the person and just kill him immediately. But it's tough to tell a bot, act like a human, have flaws, lower your accuracy or something like that. So I think this is a great step forward for gaming, because you can play with bots or play with the virtual intelligence inside the game and still have reliable competition that kind of simulates humans.
Really, I mean, you won't need it, this is just a better, player to play against. If you doesn't don't have a buddy to play against, why not play against the next best thing? And it's not a either a bot that either is so bad that you always beat, or one that is so great that you can't beat, but maybe one that molds around you and either gets worse or better depending on how you play. And that's what this is what they do basically. So Microsoft is trying to expand the interactive gaming model by trying to patent wearable gaming controllers. Will this be successfully pulled off, you think?
If the Kinect is any indication, no.
No, I don't think Microsoft is the one to try to break out of the bubble and try new controllers and stuff, 'cause they're not they should just stick to the console or the computer and do that, because
Well, it's still early in the development. Right now, they're just trying to get the patent, and they have the diagrams showing where it would be. And the pictures, to me, look kind of weird. Like, there's the normal stuff, like it's on your hands or your arms. But then they show like little stickers on a dude's chest, like
yeah, to read
right
like
on his nipples.
pulses and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if I want to be all hospitaled out in my living room trying to play my video games. I mean,
Yeah.
it was weird enough when we had the Power Glove, you remember, and you're trying to play with the Power Glove, but
I learned my lesson from the Power
Yeah,
Glove. I
really.
wasn't.
I learned my lesson from every thing that's came out like this, because there's just, until they come out with one that is convincing and it plays well, I mean,
And that's the problem with all
I'm going to be
these.
negative until then, to tell you the truth, because
Yes,
it's just.
because pantsless gaming is the way to go. So there, I'm all, and I've expressed this concern on the air plenty of times. Whenever we try to go to a new input device, it just doesn't seem to work right.
Yeah, the Wii
So.
Remote was okay, but I mean, I played Twilight Princess, and trust me, that thing does not work perfectly.
And
I
even
mean,
right, and even then, the Wii had to release that stupid little attachment that gives it true one-to-one movement or some mess like that.
yeah.
And I don't
So
know what we'd be wearing. Like, they also showed a picture of a shoe. Like, who has shoe controllers? I don't understand this.
oh, you're talking about the controller on the bottom of the shoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
You
I'm
gonna
hoping
take
it
are
was
you
just
gonna
a turn.
Is this like a style where you take your shoe off and play the game with it, and then like you have foot smell in your nose the whole time you're playing a game?
Oh man, this is just
Disgusting.
bad idea.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about stuff that people have been mailing us about.
They mailed it to us.
We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And we're back from our little break, and now we're going to go to the mailbag.
The mail! The mail is here!
Ooh!
So, we had to at least clean this out a little bit, because we've been on the break. Didn't want to let this any of this collect dust. People have already been waiting for 3 or 4 weeks, whatever, to hear this, so.
We have a whole two mails, two people who mailed us in.
Yep. Yeah, but it's going to be enough. So, the first letter comes from Cole Parker. It reads, I was really riled up when you started hating on Legend of Dragoon and just for getting 96th. We're talking about the IGN Top 100 list for RPGs. I love that game. Easily in my top 10 RPGs and PS1 games. It has good story, characters, music, and innovative and more interactive combat than most RPGs, even to this day. There's undeniably a lot of passion, heart, and soul that went into that game, and it's why it has a fairly decent cult following. I really hope you have some damn good reasons for this unnecessary hate you gave it last episode, and I would really find it hard to believe that either of you played it much, if at all, and how quick you were to dismiss and bash it. It's unique. It's a unique game, and a better game to me than Final Fantasy VII. And it's not just nostalgia talking. I have played it many times through and love it each time. I can see its flaws, but none of them really hamper my enjoyment of it much at all.
Okay,
wow.
So there's a lot there, yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay.
I know, and this is all over one game, and this wasn't actually the game that I was expecting to hear this backlash on.
I don't know. I remember there was a couple people at school that really liked Legend of Dragoon.
Right.
And
there
it was just.
Well, okay. So I got at least 20 hours into it. I know that's not the full game, but it's because I got enraged by it by the 20-hour mark.
He made it farther than I did. So to tell you the truth, I only made it about 4 or 5 hours in. So I'm gonna let him do most of the. I just remember it not being a very pleasant experience.
Yeah, then there is the girlfriend. She and her sister got through the whole game. And, of course, I've talked with them recently and in the past back when they did beat it about this game, and they agree with me that it's not an enjoyable experience. They're just masochistic, which is why they finished the game. People talk about the graphics in this game, and I disagree with that. I don't think it looks all that great, even for. I know it's a PS1 game, looks kind of clunky, but nothing about that art direction set my creative soul aflame, you know, didn't inspire me to do anything. The music, I'm going to say it's forgettable. because I don't go, man, I really want to listen to the Legend of Dragoon soundtrack. Yeah, like, none of that stuck with me. And there are soundtracks that stick with me. You know, video game music's really important to me, so if it doesn't stick with me, must not have been that good. My big knock on this game was the gameplay, this quote-unquote innovative gameplay, and the story. The story kind of, to me, drags on a bit. There's a twist in there that I'm not happy with. I didn't get to the twist, but it was told to me, and I wasn't happy with it. Basically, somebody is hunting for something for so long, and then when they finally get it, they just go, eh, oh well. That bugs me. The combat, I'm not going to call it innovative. Button pressing in the middle of attacks was done in Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
And at least it worked well there.
And it wasn't done, like, I know Super Mario RPG only had, like, one button press per attack. It wasn't like this where you had to hit, like, 8 buttons or 10 buttons or, you know, a whole bunch of sequences to get the full combo out. But it has been done before, so let's not call it innovative, it just expanded.
I mean, really, Legend of Lagoon did a better version of it. I mean...
Legend of Legaia, you mean?
I mean, what did I say, Legend of Lagoon?
Well, Legend of Legaia had more inputs than it did, like...
That's what I'm saying, it was... You can't say that was the only innovative combat in a video game when Legend of Legaia was doing the exact same thing. And there were Super Nintendo games that had, you know, more innovative combat systems where you move around and all kinds of stuff.
Well, thing I didn't like about the button presses is it wasn't responsive enough. And there was no...
Everything felt slow.
Yeah, it was slow. You can never hit the button, like, right at the right time. It didn't seem like it caught the button presses. And it felt really disjointed. Back in the day, back when we were kids, I compared it to, like, a really off-rhythm old dude trying to dance. Because it had no flow to it when you're hitting all these button presses. And that, to me, really hampered the combat, which is a big part of gameplay. The other thing is, you get to a boss, and you get curb stomped. You're like, ah, crap, I'm under-leveled. But you only level up, really, during boss fights. So you're pretty much just kind of stuck there.
Unless you want to go grind.
And I don't like that kind of thing. Like, I really don't like going back and grinding. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I don't see why, you know, people like this game and like at all. To me, it was a failure.
I've heard people say you have to beat it to appreciate it. And that is a horrible way to make a game that you want to play through. I mean,
it is, because it should capture you through the entire experience.
I mean, if 5 hours into an RPG I'm not having fun, I already know the rest of the game is going to be like this. I'm not going to play all of it.
Exactly.
Five hours into Pokemon, you know what Pokemon's going to be.
Yeah. You should be having a fun experience throughout the whole game. So if you're rage quitting at 5 hours because it's not fun, then who cares about the rest of the 45 hours of gameplay?
Because they said it has a slower story that has to pick up. And I was like, well, Final Fantasy VII did the same thing, where you don't know very much what's going on at the beginning, but at least it keeps you interested. I mean, you want to, you know, get to the next part. With Legend of the Dragoon, I couldn't care less, to tell you the truth.
And like I said, 20 hours in, I didn't like it. And after beating the game, we have opinions that they didn't like it either. So apparently beating it to appreciate it doesn't work that well either.
But at least now you'll know where we're coming from, Cole Parker, so you don't think that we're just blindly hating it. I mean, we do have reasons why we dislike games.
Exactly. So. If I blindly hated something, I'll gladly tell you that I'm hating it for the sake of hating it.
Yeah, he does a lot of that. So I mean,
yeah, and I admit to it. I man up to my pettiness.
There you go.
Anyway, thank you, Cole Parker, for that email. Our next one is a little bit shorter. It's from, and I'll get this name wrong, Brian Aguilar. I hope that's right. If it's not, let me know. I'll apologize. What do y'all think of Nintendo's ignorance towards Metroid's 25th anniversary? Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Short and to the point. We love that. Thanks a lot. What do I think of it? I thought it was a very it pissed me off mainly because they didn't do anything. I mean, they're just like, we don't care about Metroid.
You know what I found interesting? There's a lot, like, all the big 25th anniversaries are happening all right now. Like, from the beginning of summer to about this time of season.
Yeah, I should have looked up what the date, what the creation dates for Mario and Metroid and stuff were.
Yeah, like there was, and I'm going to get this list wrong, but there was easily like five really big titles. There was Metroid, there was Mario, there was Mega Man, there was Street Fighter. I think Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear fell in there somewhere. Like, it was just a whole bunch of really big milestones for all these. For all these really big titles, I'm not necessarily mad about it.
They could have done more.
I mean, they could have.
They deserve more. These games are what made the companies. I mean, they deserve it.
Well, for me, anniversary things are just like nice gifts. If I get them, sweet. If I don't, oh well. It's not going to taint my opinion of Nintendo or Capcom or, well, except for what they did to Mega Man, that kind of... Because, I mean, if you're going to do something well.
Yeah, not half-assed.
Right. Capcom's thing where they did something really terrible, or they're going to do something really terrible, and put it under the moniker of 25th anniversary, that bugs me. If you don't do anything, I'm like, ah, okay.
Yeah, I'm at least you're not making people mad because what you put out is horrible, but, I mean... I think it deserved more as a Super Metroid's my favorite game, so I mean it really deserved more than it at least deserved them to talk about it and say we like Metroid.
Just a press release of Reggie Philomane coming out and going, I like Metroid.
If he came out in a Samus Metroid, you know, the suit, that would have been enough.
If Reggie comes out in the Samus suit. Does he have to have the boobs in the suit?
Oh, he has to be Samus looking. He has to be one hot mama.
Does he have to wear the wig?
No. I want Reggie face.
Okay, so it has to be Reggie face, but he has to have boobs. I get you. Yeah. I got it. I'm there now. I agree with it. That should have happened. Screw the purple Pikmin. We should have had cross-dressing Reggie.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our opinion on that. It's... I guess it was a short email, so I'm guessing it's going to be kind of a short response. But we thank you, Brian, for sending that in and getting us to talk about it and getting us to realize that nothing happened. Because otherwise, we probably wouldn't talk about it because we forget things, obviously.
Yeah, we've been sick. So, but thank you very much, Brian, and thank you very much, Cole.
Yep.
We don't want to make either of you mad or either of you angry. We both want you to be longtime listeners, not viewers, because there's nothing of you.
Because we have faces made for radio.
There we go.
So that was the mailbag. We're going to take another break so we can cough our lungs out and get all this mess out of our systems, and we'll be back with our final three topics.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast, where miraculously neither of us died during the break.
I did cough up a lung, but that's okay.
Yeah, one of our listeners on our Facebook page suggested that maybe we have the T-Virus.
What is that? Is that from Resident Evil?
Yes, the zombie thing.
Oh, yeah, I hope not. Well, then I'd turn into one of those freakish dog things with the two heads and the woman appendage in the middle.
Oh, that would be sexy. So, before we get too graphic and too gruesome, let's get to the final three topics. BioWare has hinted at more DLC for Mass Effect 3, but has also hinted at more games to come in the series. What would you expect for the next DLC or for the next game?
Space Adventures!
Okay, yeah, that's... Yeah, thanks for the simple answer. Thanks for the obvious answer.
I don't know. I mean, they said the Mass Effect universe is vast, and Casey and our teams have plans for another full game. Surprise, okay. Surprise.
Right, so here's, to give kind of a behind-the-scenes thing, we actually posted this topic 3 or 4 weeks ago when we tried originally recording all these topics, and they hadn't talked about the Omega DLC that's coming out. But now they've talked about the Omega DLC coming out, and that's supposed to be the most expansive DLC of any of the Mass Effects. has come out, and it's supposed to be like twice as big as its next biggest predecessor or something like that. And it's talking about taking over or taking back over Omega, which is a location in the Mass Effect universe. Sounds kind of cool. I don't know if I'm going to get it day one, because as I've said up here, I don't really get DLC day one, but I'll at least look into it. If it's something, you know, story related and keeps me hooked, then I'll go with it.
Is the new DLC going to go with what BioWare said, that the franchise is going to continue past Shepard and isn't going to revolve around him anymore?
No, I mean, it's, this DLC is probably going to revolve around Shepard because it's still a Mass Effect 3. I mean, we're probably not going to see that promise live up until the next Mass Effect game. And hopefully the next Mass Effect game is the one I keep trying to pitch on this show, and that's Mass Effect Prototype, where they have to rebuild the relays and, like, humans like meet up with Turians for the first time. And we kind of get to relive, you know, what it was like before the big terminals, and then kind of get to see what it's like when they first get activated. I would love to see that. I don't know if I will, but that's what I'm hoping. What do I expect? Well, it'll probably be like another space marine in the like other side of the universe or something. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
But at least you'll get to make out with any alien you want to.
That's always been my dream, is just to make out with a bunch of scaly blue people.
Even with all the talk about the next generation, Sony has come out and said that it will support the PS3 well into 2015. Will the system still have enough juice to continue that far?
Well, okay, PS2 lived 3 years past its life cycle.
Yeah.
So maybe the PS3 will.
And 2015 will still only be a 9-year cycle for the system, because it came out in November 11, 2006. So, I mean, they said they were going to support it for 10 years.
Right. So it does fall in line with everything.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I see with this, like, we're talking about the next generation, so the next generation will probably be here before 2015. The PS3 was built more as a home entertainment system.
Yeah.
More than it was a gaming system. The PS2 was a gaming system. So its lack of features actually helped, to me, extend its life cycle past where it was, because you're just using it for games.
But had the option of watching DVDs, whereas right. This is more half and half, because you can buy movies straight from the, you know, PlayStation store up there with the Netflix and stuff. So
yeah, I don't think that will help its longevity in the long run, because now you're going to have two systems, and which one am I going to use for the home entertainment?
Well, it's not even that, you know. Cable companies now, a lot of their boxes support Redbox and Netflix and stuff too, so it's just competition is all it is. But you know, they're still making Sony isn't producing PS2 games, but there are companies that are still releasing PS2 games.
Well, Sony's talking about putting out PS3 games until this time. Now, I will
say,
yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah, but I mean, just how wonder how much longer the games will last for the system. I mean, it could last until 2020. There could still be games being put out for it.
I don't think it'll go that far, but I get your point. It is something that's possible. I do think it will last through 2015, because if Sony says it's going to last that long, that's what they're going to do. It kind of hinges on what they want to do and what they see, what the market will bear. You know, the ball's in their court in regards to how long this is going to last. So it will probably last that long. Hopefully we still get some quality out of it. You know, fingers crossed on that one. Squaresoft is bringing out old Kingdom Hearts again to beat like a dead horse. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix, love that title, should be out in Japan sometime next year. And Kingdom Hearts 1 and Re-Chains of Memory in updated HD graphics will be bundled together with cutscenes from the other games. You excited for any of the horse beating?
I want to just get a good video of them, of like a horse being recolored to like Kingdom Hearts colored, and they're just like calling out, come on, bring the bats, or just hit the horse some more. I don't know. I mean, the games deserve, I guess, for their fans, the updated, but from the graphics that I saw, it didn't look worth it. I mean, from PS2 and then Rechain of Memories, which is what, Game Boy Advance?
Or something. I think it's on a handheld system.
I mean, they needed to put a lot more work into these things than from what I saw in the video.
It seems like a cash grab.
That's all it is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's no story to be had with these, so why bundle all of the ones? I mean, I saw a detailed thing of all of the story from Kingdom Hearts, and it can just...
Here's my thing, and I've said this before. I'm not a Kingdom Hearts fan. I'm pretty sure I won't be converted. Just put out Kingdom Hearts 3 already.
Yeah.
Can we, like, that? I wouldn't complain as much about Kingdom Hearts 3. Because even though I'm not a fan, at least you're giving the fans what they want instead of trying to, like, bait their wallets or trying to, like, keep them just happy enough so they don't forget about it. Put out Kingdom Hearts 3. Just do that.
What happened is I think they figured out there were so many friggin' holes in their story that they had to go back and plug some of them, but all they've done is go back and create more holes now.
But, well, this was a storyline that was bound to have holes, though, because you have Mickey Mouse fighting Sephiroth.
I don't know. They could have done a lot with it, man. I mean, instead of just, you know, Heartless and people coming out of anti-Heartless, I'm just like, I don't know, man. I just stopped caring after a point. I played through Kingdom Hearts 2, and by that point, I was already like,
so let me
no conclusion there. I need something.
Let me give you a little peek into the life of Steven. I actually thought, again, for like the fifth or sixth time, maybe I should go through Kingdom Hearts and try to replay it. And then I thought, well, maybe I can spend my time doing something more useful, like watching brain dead television. Like I could be watching like Jeopardy, and I think it would be a better use of my time than playing through Kingdom Hearts again and getting disappointed again.
You could learn how to whittle wood. That would be better.
I could. And that
make
would
make me some wooden shoes.
You want some clogs?
I want some clogs. Okay. It'd be better time spent than playing Kingdom Hearts.
It really would. I could write Big Bang Theory fan fiction, and I think it'll be a better spent time than Kingdom Hearts.
I don't know. I think I'd rather listen to Simple and Clean than Big Bang Theory. I don't know.
Yeah,
we've gone over this before. I don't know. That's coming down to me.
I know that. I know we're treading a thin line here.
Just so, like walking between the sun and the rays. All right.
So that was our episode. That was our comeback episode. Hopefully, we'll stay healthy so we can get the next episode next week.
As long as he doesn't get tuberculosis.
Oh, boy. And I don't have my shots yet. Oh, man.
You'll get your shots. You did just move to Arizona. So, well, not just move, but you never know what you're going to get there. I heard they got different diseases.
Yeah. I get stung by a scorpion. That'd be fun.
Do you got your scorpion shots?
I do not have my scorpion shots.
Good God, man. You better go get your scorpion.
I am living on the edge.
Oh, my God. Oh, might so, not hear from him next year or week. He got stung by the scorpion.
So, until next week, goodbye.
Scorpions!